All right, welcome back into another episode of the Lads Talking Footy podcast. As always, I'm with my right-hand man, J to the T, Jordan Tana, the one and the only. Mate, how's it going?
We good, man. We're actually recording this from a homeless shelter in Auckland because an absolute shocker on the Maltese this week. I'm sure a lot of people have, but man, brutalized.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've already locked in the name for the podcast is Tragic Ground, episode number 48. I'll jump ahead since we're on the topic now before we jump into the headlines. But the Telegram recap for us, we had 34 units staked over that and we had a 25.5 unit collect. That all came from the Cowboys-Dolphins game on Sunday night. So we had an absolute shocker there as well. Came through with one big win though. That was Tommy Dearden and Jeremiah Nanai anytime at $13 that came in. With a couple of others, like we said, jump on the link if you want some free NRL tips. We're not professionals at this one. Tragic Ground hit us where it hurts, but we'll see moving forward. As for the headlines, though, I locked this one in early. It was Zach Lomax reportedly unhappy playing on the wing. The Eels and other Sydney-based teams have been interested in acquiring his talents if he requests a release. I know the Dragons have come out today. Flanagan has said that he will not release Zach Lomax this year. He played really well on the wing for the Dragons over the weekend, but he isn't happy about playing there. As soon as I saw the Eels name pop up there in the interest list, I thought, man, he'd be a perfect fit in that centre role for them if he does request a release from the Dragons.
Yeah, so Zach Lomax kind of fits perfectly into the Eels. He's loves to throw offloads and do flashy stuff with the ball when he's tackled. So I kind of like the fit. They're not the strongest in the positions at the moment. They've got like reliable centers and Will Pennicini and Morgan Harper, but I think Zach Lomax can add a little bit of X factor to that team. In terms of how he played in the week on the wing, I thought he was all good. So It is interesting to hear the reports come out, but hey, if you want to play somewhere and be comfortable, then I guess you got to the squeaky wheel gets the oil, man, and he had to say something.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see how they treat it moving forward, though, if this all starts to unravel for the Dragons, because we had Ben Hunt in the middle of it last year for them as well. If Zach Lomax starts to get front and centre on it too, be interesting to see what happens. The other one I got here, Spencer Lenu, he has copped an 8-week ban, or suspension, I should say, for his racial slur towards Ezra Mam. Fair punishment, do you think? Or do we go a little bit light, or do we go a bit harsh?
Nah, I'm going to stick to it. I reckon they went a little bit harsh. At the end of the day, like, grow up.
Yeah.
8 weeks is, like, a long time for... It has racial undertones, and I'm sure he used it in a pretty gnarly way, but just the way they were complaining and, like, oh, he called him a monkey, so, oh, and, like, just making a big deal about it. It's kind of, like, tattletale vibes. I know we shouldn't condone racism or racist remarks in the game, but 8 weeks is a lot, man. And I'm sure Spencer Lemieux, this is a pretty big assumption, I'm sure Spencer Lemieux has copped the words coconut, bunga, stuff like that, and not said anything to the ref or made a big deal about it and complained. So 8 weeks is just like, it's a bit of an overreaction. I think 3 to 4 would have been a sufficient penalty.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe on the other side of this, one thing to take away from it is I wasn't too stoked with the amount of noise that came out of a lot of players surrounding the issue that had nothing to do with it in hindsight. I know Latrell obviously stands on that mountain in terms of racial awareness and all of that kind of stuff within rugby league, but let the NRL make their decision first before throwing your 2 cents in. That's the only thing. I wouldn't have even mind maybe seeing the odd fine thrown out to a few guys that were commenting on the matter. Let it happen in-house before you go on from there. But yeah, 8 weeks it's a long time for the Chooks. And I was really looking forward to seeing him and JWH at the front and center for them moving forward. So it is a tough blow for the Chooks moving forward. We're going to jump into accountability. So I had Greg Marju anytime try score at $1.91. I had DWZ anytime try score at $1.95. To'o anytime try score at $2.20. So we went 0-3 to begin with, but then we brought it home. I had either team 13 plus and the Eels versus Doggies game, $2.15 there. Dragons, +5.5 at $1.95. Kyle Fout, anytime try scorer at $2.35 to finish us off there. Now, what I'm going to do at the end of the accountability is I'll do a rough estimate on how we actually went so we can just see how shit we actually did and how we've been going over the season. So that was a 3.45 unit collect. So obviously that puts us up 3.45 units after that round. So we'll see moving forward. JT, how did you go, man?
Yeah, I didn't fare too much better either. I was 2 from 6 on the week. We had the Knights -7.5 go down. We had the Warriors 5.5 go down. These teams lost as well, so I'm fucking into weather. They couldn't even the spreads. We had the Panthers -3.5 go down. And then we had a bit of a golden patch with the two games. We got the Eels to cover the -5.5. That went. The Dragons to cover the +5.5, so they were underdogs. I also put back in GT Head, so that was a good win for them. And then, unfortunately, the biggest shocker of them all, I actually went the Dolphins to cover the +5.5 spread, and they ended up getting worse. So,
yeah,
rough week.
It was tough footy out there, man. Round one, I was thinking, last year was tough. It had its moments. We had a couple of rounds where everything went to plan, but there were quite a few games where just shit wasn't happening. And then just to go bang, bang, bang with those first three big X's all across the board, no predictions. I was thinking, fuck, what have we got ourselves into this season?
Yeah, it was looking very bleak.
We're going to move into the power play of the round, brought to you by TBC Live. If you haven't downloaded the app, do yourselves a favor, go and do it. Live prediction for me is the best at the moment. It's like having a little punt. You can accumulate points throughout it, and it goes towards like your leaderboard score. It's a little bit different. It's just a different way of viewing it. And when you're sitting on the couch, you've got a cold one in your hand and you've got your phone in the other, do something a little bit different. Jump on and support the boys. For me, though, power play of the round, Tyrell Sloan, his second try against the Titans. Jacob Little, he showed last year how dangerous he can be around the ruck when the opportunity presents himself, and he is very fast and he is very nippy. So for him to get out of dummy half quickly like that, glide through, and that number one for the red V turned on the absolute boosters in Tyrell Sloan. He flew through to pick up his second try for the Dragons. He finished with a hat trick in that one. I know the defense has its little bit of a question mark for him positionally and how he sort of goes about it, but when you're doing shit like that and he was flying, that was my power play of the round. Tyrell Sloan, fantastic.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of a guy who was meant to be on the other side of the field, and Jaden Campbell. He looked really good, real dangerous, right close to players who were making half breaks and getting close to the line. I remember that first try he got was sensational, how he just backed up off a guy, like flicked it off an offload, and then he was right there on the shoulder and sprinted through too fast for anyone to touch. So Tyrell Sloan, impressive, man. My TBC Live power play comes from Dolphins and the Dragons game, and it's actually a grubber kick assist from Emiso Tabuai Fado to Hallam Luki. No, not that one. That's probably weakest play of the round. But mine actually goes to Zach Labert for the dummy flick pass try he did, also on Hammer. So Hammer was struggling a little bit out there, but man, what an absolute dime, or not a dime because he dummied it, but absolute crafty play to chuck the flip pass out there, but hold on to the dummy it, and then he had Hammer lost. So very inventive, and Zach Labor as well. So good power play for him.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he played absolutely fantastic. I was here sitting on my perch saying the young Warriors recruit coming across to the Cowboys. That position was all him. Labor, I think he's locked that one. It's his position to lose right now. That was very impressive from him. Performance of the round, though. Do you want to kick us off on this one?
Yeah, so performance of the round, I was kind of like going to piggyback off you because I know who you're doing. But yeah. I've also got group performance as well. I'm actually going to do the Storm's defense. Absolutely impressive performance from them. They held last year's best offense to 0 points. I mean, the Panthers' attack did not look good by any stretch of the imagination, but they still had plenty of opportunities to win the game in the last 20 minutes with so much territorial pressure. But it was just all heart and effort from the Storm to hold them out, man. They still missed 32 tackles, but their scramble D was amazing. And they just always had backing up. Like, the Panthers would make these little half breaks and then get off not great shape. Like, they didn't look like the clinical Panthers that the competition last year. But they were still had a lot of pressure and playing off Isaiah Yeo and Nathan Cleary. And the Storm just always had numbers covering up if someone wants to shoot out, like the coach or one of the centers, they always have four numbers tracking across to cover the space that was made by their flyers. So impressive performance by this. Josh King was outstanding in this game. He was working so hard in the middle. 29 tackles, zero missed tackles in 48 minutes. I was super impressed with his performance. And a guy I mentioned before, Xavier Coates, he had a defensive masterclass for a wing, I thought. He was jamming in at the perfect times, shutting down plays. He reacted well to grubber kicks that were being put in behind, doing the quick pivot and turning and saving those plays. So great defensive performance all around. Of course it is. It's 0 points against the best attack from last year. The Melbourne Storm made a statement on the Panthers and the competition, and the streak continues. Mm-hmm. It's 2001 they haven't lost the first round game, and that just keeps rolling on. Melbourne Storm, super impressive.
It's fucking sick that, like, I was so surprised, not only to hold them, I mean, it's got the record there. I thought it was all said and done. Like we said last week, I think it was you said it, to match the Panthers up with Craig Bellamy's record in round one, and then to hold them to the donut as well. Super impressive from the Storm, and what a way to kick it off for them this year as well. For me, like we said, we decided to go teams. It was too hard to pick players of the round, so I'm jumping on that one as well. It was the Cowboys in general. I'd said it round one, this will be how we get a gauge on them this year, and the attack is absolutely firing. I thought Dearden looked fantastic. Drinky, he looked great, but he didn't even unlock fully in this one as well. They stripped the edges perfectly. When you got Nanai, Helam Lukey out on those edges, it's almost one of the best forward packs going around in the game in terms of the balance and the way that they play. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I'm not going to sit on my sword or up on my perch just yet, I should say, and say that they're going to be that elite team yet, because I want to see the defense. It wasn't a fantastic showing out from the Dolphins, though. But yeah, Cowboys, absolutely outstanding. Round one, set it alight. But I did see one little stat from Rando today that the Cowboys, the last time that they finished on top of the table in round one, they didn't make the playoffs that year. So I hope it's a different story for them moving forward. But he seems to be right more than he's wrong, old Rando. So we'll see from that. Takeaways, though. Do you have a takeaway from round one?
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, what a deflating stat to pull out of the trash can after such an impressive performance from the Cowboys.
I know. Yeah, all these Cowboys fans are riding hot. This is what we've got to go. And yeah, then just to say, yeah, the only time you've led after round one, you didn't make the eight. So there we go, Cows fans.
Yeah, Cowboys country, let's not ride. No, I didn't have a takeaway from this round. There was so many upsets, and it's still so early for me to gauge just where teams are at. So I didn't really have a takeaway. All I will say is, seems to be a lot more big hits this year, and I don't know if it's just because I'm seeing more on Instagram and that, but there seems to be some solid collisions. The one from Montoya was a big hit.
Yeah.
Xavier Coates coming out, putting a big hit on. There was a couple of really big tackles made, and I hope this continues, because, like I say, there's two highlights in rugby league. It's runaway tries and big hits, so keep them coming.
I agree. A couple of the arms were down, and I hope it stays like that. I don't have a takeaway, but one thing that I did pick up on the round moving forward is the whole effect on the short dropout game and how teams are sort of playing it. I think as we move forward over the next couple of rounds, you're going to see a lot of teams sort of fade away from looking for the repeat sets. We did see it a lot in the Warriors. They sort of really thumped at home. The Sharkies ended up kicking it deep. I think it was two or three plays before they started going short, and they had a lot of luck from it. And you're rolling the dice and you don't have much sort of riding on it anymore. It's not that penalty, that easy two given away. You might as well. So I think we're going to see maybe a lot more teams look to start to run the ball on the fifth, die with the ball, and just box them into a corner and go from there rather than going for that repeat set. So it will be interesting moving forward in terms of how that all gets played when they start to look stripping players on the edges going forward. But that's one thing that I took away from it.
I will say, just piggybacking off of that, another takeaway I have is that old heads are going to be satisfied with rule changes. I was noticing that from the commentary, man. Like, every single downtown call or like a player obstructing the kick pressure call, whatever that call is called, they were just complaining and like, how it's moving, or how's the hooker just meant to stop there after a kick? Like,
yeah,
the old heads need to just accept. The old heads need to understand what these rules are trying to do. They're trying to promote positive rugby league. They're trying to promote counterattacks. They're trying to promote a better brand of rugby league so that it's more entertaining for the viewer to watch. These old heads just need to relax and let the rules play out and see what the actual effect is come, like, maybe week six when we see the full effect of the rules.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, those old boys can't teach a dog, an old dog new tricks, so a couple of them will be struggling a bit. Into the preview, though. Round two, all of these odds are accurate as of Tuesday night at 6 p.m. So we're kicking it off. The Broncos, they take on the Rabbitohs at Suncorp. I did like how the NRL played this one. We got the two teams that obviously played in Vegas. The following round, they're going to match up and have the hangover game against each other before they take on the competition. So in terms of the way that they've run all of this, I thought they did it absolutely perfectly. But moving on to the game, the Broncos are $1.38 favourites in this one. The Bunnies are $3.10 underdogs, and the line is sitting at a whopping 8.5. So the Broncos, unchanged squad for them. Bunnies, though, Jacob Host and Jai Arrow are out. It looks like Jai Arrow will be out for quite a while. They're waiting on scans results to show the extent of that shoulder injury and whether he will require surgery. Sean Kepi, though, and Talis Duncan, they come in for them. And the back line is completely unchanged. So the Broncos, they've won three of their last four matchups against South Sydney, but the Rabbitohs have won two of their last three matches against the Broncos at Suncorp. The Bunnies, they have a 50% win rate here at Suncorp as well. But for me, the Broncos, they were super flat in Vegas. I think for them being at home, that first game of the year at home in front of the fans after a very disappointing lackluster performance in one of the most hyped games with one of the most hyped squads, it's going to be a complete flip for them, and that's why I'll be taking them in this one.
Yeah, and I have to agree. I have to agree, man, because the Broncos didn't look at their best, but they still looked pretty good. Like, Payne Haas was still strong through the middle. All their forwards still looked pretty solid through the middle, and Dak still looked slick with Reece Walsh out the back. They just, the execution just wasn't there, and it wasn't the team that showed up as well. In terms of looking towards this game, the Broncos did beat the Rabbitohs in their last game, 36-20. And the Rabbitohs did make a lot of points in some pretty good conditions in Las Vegas. I know it was a bit chilly, but it was still clear conditions. It's meant to be clear conditions on Thursday in Brisbane. And it is a home, the first home game for the Broncos this year. And we know how good their attack is in good conditions when it is rolling on all cylinders. So the Rabbitohs leaking as many points as they did to the Seagulls, it's not a good sign for me. They're also losing Jai Arrow, like you said, and it's the Broncos' full squad backing up, which, you know, last week, but this, it's good consistency to see them not come away with too many injuries from that game. And the second-best attack in the comp last year should bounce back at home. I'm going to say the Broncos win. As for my prop, I'm going to say the Broncos cover that 8.5 line at $1.97 and get their season underway.
Yeah, I like it. Look, I'm holding hands with you right at the very beginning of this one. Broncos, I'm taking them to cover the spread. Suncorp, the injury list keeps growing for the Bunnies, which I think is quite concerning for them as well moving forward. Little redemption from Vegas. Broncos, cover that 8.5 line. That's where I'll be going with you in that one. Now, the Sharkies, they take on the Bulldogs at PointsBet Stadium. So the Sharks are $1.36 favourites in this one. Bulldogs, they are $3.10 underdogs with the line sitting at 8.5. The Sharks are running out the exact same 18 that faced the Warriors last week. Bulldogs, though, Connor Tracy, he will replace Josh Adokar on the wing against his old team. Pretty much unchanged for them, though, in this one. Very concerning performance from the Bulldogs last week. I thought it was pretty lackluster to start the season. There's been a lot of noise early on about Burden. Is he actually a 5'8"? Should he go back to that centre role, bring the other halves in and push Critter to fullback? It's going to be interesting. They need to silence the haters early on, the Doggies, if they want to have some sort of success this year. What are you thinking in this game, though?
Yeah, they didn't look good at all, man. Whereas the Sharks did look really good, but a different element to what they usually show. They looked really good on defense, holding the Warriors to just 12 points at home and not getting any points scored on them for about 65 minutes of that game as well, which is very impressive considering how good the Warriors looked at home last year. And they're coming up against a team that scored only 8 points last week and looked pretty horrible in general in terms of accuracy. They've made plenty of penalties, put themselves under a whole heap of pressure in that first, and then just weren't really good enough to capitalize in the second half either. And, you know, this Sharks team, they've shown last year, they didn't really blow the doors off the Warriors. They were already good at home. But they showed last year that against non-top eight teams, they can cut minutes. And then if the Bulldogs are going to give up as much territory and position as they did to the Eels, the Sharks are one of the best teams in the strike zone with Talakai and Molotalo, especially side, and they could cut the Bulldogs to bits here. So the Sharks won both games last year by 13-plus, 48-10 at home and 33-20. I like the Sharks to go 13-plus again. I'm going to go Sharks 13-plus at $2.30.
Yeah, I like it. Sharkies, they've won their last six games in a row against the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs, they only have a 46% win rate here as well. Was not impressed by them in round one. I have a feeling I'm not going to be impressed by them come end of round two. And I agree with you. I think Molotalo, he's going to go in here as well. Sharkies, I think they'll click a lot better on that edge in this one. He scored three tries in his last two games against the Bulldogs as well. At PointsBet Stadium, sorry. And you can get him here at any time at $2 as well. Now the Panthers, they take on the Eels, BlueBet Stadium. The Panthers are $1.40 favorite. The Eels, they're $3 underdogs, and the line is at 7.5. Big lines in this one as well. So Panthers unchanged from last week. Eels, Mitch Moses, he has been named despite the groin issues. I haven't seen a lot of noise come out of their camp throughout the week. It has been kept very, very quiet. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that moving forward. They're running Brendan Hands again on the bench in that 14 jersey. So they're going for the dual hooker. I thought Joey Lussick played fantastic for them in round one. So it'll be interesting to see if he can manage to push himself in or what that role sort of takes place for him this season. But this is always a classic one. Neils, they've won their most two recent meetings, but their injury to Moses has me pretty concerned in this one. Even if he does run out here, he wasn't kicking on the weekend. He didn't look like himself in attack. And that's their main threat if they're under siege. And again, how they play the Panthers as well. That's how they beat him last time. What did he kick for? 800 odd meters or something. If he's not swinging that leg, I don't think the Eels are going to be doing too well. So that's why I will be going the Panthers in this one and at home as well.
Wow. Kumbaya. I know you're a stats guy, but I was doing research and I was like, man, all of this suggests that you got to take the Eels spread at +7.5 because they've won like the last two games and they just seem to do really good against the Panthers just with their clash of styles as well. They have a real loading game that disrupts the defensive powerhouse like a Panthers team. But yeah, I agree with you though. As against my better judgment from what I've looked up, I am going to go with the Panthers. I know they scored 0 points last week, but I wasn't actually impressed with this attack either. Like, they had plenty of opportunity to blow the doors off the Bulldogs, and they only scored 26 points. Like, really? Like, they were way too flat. They were mistiming D-corners. They were throwing passes too far behind players. It just wasn't a really good performance from the Eels. And I know the Panthers are going to have a chip on their shoulder coming back in this season home opener. And Nathan Cleary is going to be, you know, with the biggest chip on his shoulder. He's going to have a full pack of Doritos on his shoulder because he's going to want to make a statement. This Eels team that's kind of had his number. So I'm expecting a bounce back. They've only lost two games in a row twice in the last four seasons since this dynasty sort of started. So I'm actually back in the Panthers to get some revenge last week and on the Eels in general. And I've got them, because it's such a weird game, weird teams and a weird clash of styles, I've actually just got the Panthers head-to-head at $1.39. I don't know how this game's going, whether it's going to be a hiding or whether it's going to be close. It could go either way. So I stack the Panthers head to head.
Nice. I like that stat that you got as well. What was it? They haven't lost back-to-back game, or they've lost four back-to-back games since?
No, they've only lost back-to-back games twice. So I guess four games.
Yeah.
They've lost back-to-back games twice in the last four seasons.
That's a hectic stat. And it's not like the dynasty is over. They've still got, it's an absolutely stacked side. My best bet for this one, I'm going Clint Gutherson. He scored three tries in his last three games against the Panthers, and you can get him anytime at $3.60. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, both of those times in those back-to-back losses, the Tigers were involved.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Speaking of Tigers, they are taking on the Raiders. Jio Stadium, the Raiders, $1.44 favourites in this one. The Tigers, they are $2.80 underdogs with the line sitting at 7.5. So, Seb Chris, he's returning to the centre role for the Raiders in this one. Lachlan Galvin, he will make his debut with Adam Season named on the bench. I believe he's carrying an injury at the moment, so expect him to be dropped out before it actually takes place. No Olam in the centres. He's still carrying an injury from a Dragons preseason, I believe. And Alex Seyfarth, he starts at lock for them. Interested to see how he goes. So this one's a doozy. The Raiders, they've won 11 of their last 12 games against the Tigers, and some of those score lines have been pretty horrific. I was super impressed by the Raiders' pack in round one. That's where I think will be the difference maker in this one. They've got some big, big boys in the middle that can bang, and they can bring off some even bigger boys off the bench. They are loaded from there. I think that'll set the tone in this one. The Tigers have only won 10 of their 22 games at Jio Stadium as well, so absolutely horrific for them there. And I'll be taking the Raiders on that 7.5 spread, 11 from 12 games against the Tigers. New halves combo for the Tigers, a boy on debut, Raiders at home, the forward pack. I can see the line clearing that two try sort of thing, and you can get that at $1.91.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you. I think the Raiders are going to win this game. The Tigers kind of hang down a strong forward pack, and they named a pretty strong forward pack again in this game. But, yeah, it's kind of going up with your strength against another team's strength, and that strength is a little stronger. So I like the Raiders' forward pack to kind of negate any advantage that the Tigers' forward pack could give them. And they've also got a lot of inexperience in that back line with Lachlan Galvin, like you said, and then Solomone Fa'atape. And then I also like a bit of a veteran bolster. Well, I guess he's a veteran at this point. Sebastian Chris returning to the fold for the Raiders. I think he's going to add a little bit on attack for them. But I'm actually not too sure how much the Raiders are going to win this game, because last year in both their games, they won by close margins. They won by a combined 3 points. And I know they've had some really nasty scores in previous years, but this is kind of a new Tigers team. Last year was like the first signs of what the Tigers are right now. So, yeah, I'm going to say the Raiders with another eat-ass pick back-to-back, head-to-head at $1.46. Weird game to pick a margin for just because it is a new-look Tigers team with Benji Marshall as the coach now. But I am confident that the Raiders will take it at home.
Yeah. The Tigers, anytime they take the field, it is a little bit of a weird one. You don't know what's going to happen. The stats are pointing one way. They could be pointing the other. Who knows what will happen, but we'll see come next week. So now the Cowboys, they take on the Knights at Country Bank Stadium. The Cowboys, they are $1.91 favourites. The Knights are $2.80 underdogs with the line again at 7.5. So Cowboys, Labour, he retains that centre spot. He will all year, I'd say, for them. Fantastic last week. For the Knights, Tom Jenkins, he's in on the wing for them. Pretty much unchanged, really, other than that. Cowboys, they have won their last four games against the Knights at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. Knights were super disappointing, I thought, in round one. Mistake-riddled game. I think being at home for the Cowboys will give them that little bit of an edge, considering coming off a very free-flowing and very positive attack. I think the Knights, they'll tidy up a little bit more in this one. It might be a little bit closer than we all think, but I am leaning towards the Cowboys to win this.
Yeah, and I'll have to agree with you, and I think they're going to win a little bit better than what than maybe what you think, because I think they will cover that line. I had it at -6.5, but it might have shifted since then. But -6.5, -7.5, I don't mind them winning by more than a try, because, you know, last year, even though the Knights kind of stole the Cowboys' thunder as like the surprise competition darling, they still lost to the Cowboys in Townsville 18-16. And the Cowboys have a full squad retention from last week coming into this game, whereas the Knights lose Dylan Lucas, and Tuala was, I think, probably just dropped because Jenkins is quite a good player. But Dylan Lucas is a handy player in the second row there. If you look at both of these teams' performances, like you said, polar ends of the spectrum, man, because Cowboys already looking in sync offensively. Their defense actually kind of impressed me as well. There were, like, little moments where the Dolphins kind of got a roll on, and it looked like the Cowboys from last year at certain moments. But for the most part, I thought they actually showed a lot of effort in that department. Dearden was rushing up, making tackles. Reuben Cottle was working his ass off in the middle. And I like the way they looked, whereas the Knights looked like they took a step back with just the amount of errors and stuff they made. So, yeah, considering how both teams looked last week, I think it's a generous line. So I'm actually going to take the Cowboys, -7.5 at $1.90.
Nice. For me, I'm looking on that edge. Marju's wing here. Kyle Fowle, anytime, he's scored a try in the last two games between the Knights and the Cowboys, and you can get him at $2 there as well. Double your money on Fowle, man. I feel like there's going to be a good play this season. The Storm.
It's also Fowle, sorry. Felt is going for the Cowboys' record, I believe. He got denied in the very last second against the Dolphins. So
yeah,
I reckon that's good jam right there.
Absolutely, lock it in. Storm, they take on the Warriors at Amy Park. So the Storm, $1.42 favourites here. The Warriors, $2.90 underdogs. Again, line sitting at 7.5. For the lineups, both squads pretty much unchanged again. Munster, he's still battling his shower demons, so Pezzett has retained that starting spot for them. What do you like in this one, man? These are always a classic between the Warriors and a Storm. What are you thinking?
Okay, I'm glad you went to me first because you've had quite a positive outlook. You've got more of a positive outlook on things than me at the moment. I've kind of been known to pick against the Warriors from time to time. And I'm sorry to do it, but I'm going to be doing it again, man, because, you know, if I look at the research that I've done, the Storm have won the last two games against the Warriors, both by 1-12, so close games. But last week, they just impressed me, man. They held the best attack from last year in the competition to a donut, whereas the Warriors really struggled for 65 minutes to crack a good Sharks D. It was a good Sharks D last week, but it's not notoriously known for, you know, holding teams to low scores. So that was kind of concerning for me. The Storm only lost one game all season in Melbourne. At Amy Park. They lost two games, another one at Marvel Stadium. But, yeah, Amy Park is just a fortress for them. I can see us maybe leading the game in territory and maybe even possession, but I think the Storm are just going to, you know, rest their head on this new defense that they've found. And you know how good they are when they get into the strike zone. They really capitalize on their opportunities. They kind of almost had one opportunity in the second half before Remus Smith scored against the Panthers to close that game out, but put the game beyond the try margin. So please don't boo me in the comments or anyone who hears this, but I am going to be going the Storm, but at a 1-12 margin because of how competitive the Warriors are, $2.80, that is.
Yeah, nice. Like you said, Amy Park is an absolute fortress. The last time that the Warriors beat the Storm was round 8, 2014 at Amy Park. Yeah. That is a very long time between drinks. Like I said, it's always a classic. The Warriors have a 3-14 record at Amy Park after a very, very disappointing season opener in front of a sold-out crowd at Mount Smart. Was thumping. They started off fantastic. The two tries early on to begin with and then just nothing for the rest of the game. Was a real shame for me. And can the Storm be that legit team this year and build off what they did in round one? Can the Warriors prove that they were a heavyweight coming into this season? It's all a lot up in the air. The stats defy Amy Park. I'm going to go the Warriors in this one. I think these are the sort of games where it's got to happen at some point. They've got to break it at some point. And this is a different Warriors outfit this year. And I think they will want to send a message to the competition. What happened at home round one, that happened, but they can change the narrative come round two. That's what I'm going to hang my hat on. And the Storm, they did such a fantastic job on To'o last week. So that's why I'm looking to the other side in Montoya in this one. If that pill leaves Metcalf's hands to that edge, I think Tui Vasa will put on some good footwork up against the brick. And you can get Marcelo Montoya anytime at $3.20. $3.20 for a winger on that left edge. I think that's some money to jam there. Now, the Manly, they take on the Roosters at Four Pines Park. Roosters, $1.82 favourites in this one. Manly are $2 underdogs with the line sitting at 1.5. Your favourite word, it is a pick'em. Saab, he's out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. Tommy Talau, he takes that wing spot. So Schuster, he's playing reserve grade this weekend, looking for another massive shift here again from Burbo to really lock in that edge spot. The Roosters, Lenu out, JWH in. Tommy Young, he will make his debut with the reserves just absolutely stacked for the Roosters. You got Connor Watson, you got Egan Butcher, Angus Crichton out there. These are all guys that aren't being named in the team. The depth there is absolutely crazy. So it's going to be a hot commodity for them. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, man. It is a close game. It is tough to pick. The Roosters won the last regular season game between the two, winning 26-16. And then they also beat them in the preseason challenge, 36-22. And the Roosters really put themselves on the map last week. I thought it was a very impressive performance against the Broncos in Las Vegas. So I think they're, you know, genuine contenders after holding the second-best offense to just 10 points. Whereas the Seagulls did look dangerous on attack, but they still leaked 24 points. And there was moments in that game until about 60 minutes where they were behind even. So the Seagulls, you know, dangerous team, but they're also losing a breakout player and Jason Saab, who was responsible for an intercept try, and then if it wasn't for Lachlan Elias, was on 90 metres and scores another try. So that takes away some points that they could potentially score on just splash plays. And then guess who the Roosters get back? Dominic Young. And he's going to tip the scales of splash plays in their favours, because we've seen what Dominic Young can do for the Knights and the 90-metre tries and intercepts that he can get. So I like the Roosters here. I like the Roosters to win the game. It is tough to pick. The last two meetings have been 1-12 between the two teams, splitting the games last year. But I'm going to back the Roosters with their forward pack depth, like you said, to get this one done. I'll say it is a 1-12 margin at $2.88.
Nice. Now, yeah, the Roosters, they've won 4 of their last 5 matches against Manly and have won 2 of their last 3 games against them at Four Pines Park as well. So they have had the wood over them. 7-19 record here, though, and Manly have shown recently that it is a little bit tough to beat them at Four Pines Park. Super impressive from both teams in round one, especially from the Birds. You may call yourself a Warriors supporter, and you didn't back them. I call myself a Manly supporter. I'm going to back my boys here. I do think they can get this done. That isn't me solely sitting here and saying it with my heart. I do think that they will get the job done at home in front of the fans. Expecting another big shift from Luke Brooks. If we can see some consistency out on that left edge side, it's going to be fantastic. I want to see a bit more of a Tommy Turbo sort of prowling around, unlock him a little bit more in the middle. Be interesting to see how they play it. I'm going to be taking Manly head-to-head at $2. That's some double your money jam there. Now, the Dolphins, they take on the Dragons at KO Stadium. So it's a funny one saying this. We've got $1.91 favourites in the Finns, $1.91 underdogs in the Dragons. And that's just because the line is sitting at 1.5. So if that was a pick-in before, I don't know what the fuck this is right now. It is dead even. The Dolphins, Connolly Lemuelu and Ray Stone, they're out for them. So we've got Max Plath coming in and Ewan Aitken. Wayne Bennett, surprising us all, naming him on the edge for the Dolphins. So I don't know what to expect in that one. Dragons unchanged though. Leilua though has been named in jersey number 17 for them. So it looks like he will make his Dragons debut. The Dragons and the Finns, they've only played each other twice. They've won one each of those games. It's been played at KO Stadium, which is where the Dolphins beat the Dragons in their last matchup. And the Dolphins have won 2 of their 3 games here as well. So impressive, I thought, from the Dragons last week. I'm going to fall on my sword early here. I don't see that team with Flanagan as the coach of them being a wooden spoon. I think the culture is completely different. That's what I was really worried about this year. The way that they played that game, I thought, was just fantastic. The young boys out on the edge had the flair, but through the middle, they just really looked like they wanted to set the tempo, which is what you want in a team that's just going to compete each week. So for me, spoon, cross that one out. As for the Finns, I was really, really disappointed. I thought the halves needed to square up because those edges had absolutely no time. They couldn't unlock Hammer. They couldn't unlock Herbie. And Asako had one of the most ridiculous stats in terms of tries scored against the team. Then they couldn't even get him a ball on the edge there. So I really want to see that shored up for the Finns. But I'm going to be taking the Dragons in this one, and I think it will be a bit tight.
Yeah, so he called the last game a pick'em. This game is a don't pick'em, because this could go any which way, man. I don't know who to go with this one. The Dolphins, like you said, did win in their spiritual home of Redcliffe, where this game will be played. They did beat the Dragons. And even though they went 2-1, that one game, they came really close to the Panthers, and they pushed them all the way. So this is kind of like a spiritual home for them. They will be fired up for this game. Tough pick, man, because like you said, the Dragons definitely look better than the Dolphins last week. But I just think the Dolphins kind of ran into a Cowboys buzzsaw. Call me insane. The definition of insanity is making the same mistake twice, so we'll see where I'm at next week. But I'm actually going to go for the Dolphins here. They were slight dog money when I first checked the stats. They were $1.97, not the stats, sorry, the odds. And in a 50-50 game with a team that's coming back to their spiritual home, and they've made some changes. I trust Wayne Bennett as a good coach. They brought Katoa in for O'Sullivan, which you were rightly critiquing some of his play. I think they can get it done. I'm still not a believer in the Dragons. I think they can get it done. I've got the Dolphins head-to-head in another EDAS pick at $1.97. It was at the time. I think that's dropped to $1.91, like you said, but I'm going to do it one more time. One more time. And if they lose, I'm done with the Dolphins for the rest of the year.
All right. JT, done with the Dolphins. Finn, the Finn will go down if they drop. That wraps up the preview. So my best bets on this one, I've got the Broncos at a minus -8.5, $1.95. Mulitalo anytime, $2. Clint Gutherson anytime at $3.60. The Raiders covering that minus -7.5 line at $1.91. Kyle Fout anytime at $2. Marcelo Montoya anytime at $3.20. Manly head-to-head at $2. And Jermaine Asako, I'm going $2.10 in this one. He's scored 3 tries in his last 2 games against the Dolphins. The stats don't lie. Give him the fucking ball. He will score. That's where I'm going with my best bets. Jordan, what were yours?
Yeah, we've got, instead of the money line multi this week, we've got the mixed margin multi with a few money lines sprinkled in. So the first one is a money line. Broncos minus -8.5 at $1.97. Sharks 13 plus at $2.30. Panthers just head-to-head at $1.39. Scared of that game. Raiders just head-to-head at $1.46. Don't know how they're going to win. Cowboys minus -6.5 at $1.90. Storm 1-12 at $2.80. Sorry, everyone. Roosters 1-12 at $2.88. And then finally, Dolphins head-to-head. You're going to be sweating that one at $1.97.
Nice. Before we end the show, we're going to introduce the Stats Don't Lie multi. That's going to fuck off. And we've got a repeat set bet. So this is going to be our punt along the ground. Nice and safe. We're looking to give you another crack in next week by putting that in for a repeat set, and you can put that money onto something else. So that's our definition of a lock of the week. Followed by that, we're going to do the 40-20 bet. So fullback's out of position. We're looking for the home run play here. We're going to kick it deep, try and change the momentum, see if we can score off it. So that's going to be nothing under $4.20. I'll start us off with the repeat set bet. So I'm going to go the Canberra Raiders at a minus -4.5 line, $1.72. 11 of their last 12 games against the Tigers. Like you said earlier, the Tigers, they can get kind of icky. So I'm going to dial that back off a converted try. We're going to go for minus -4.5 there. And that is $1.72.
Yeah, for my repeat set bet, I'm going to a game where I think the team should win comfortably. And that will be the Sharks versus the Bulldogs. And we saw when the Sharks played off shape down that left side, Mulitalo wasn't either scoring a try or involved in setting up a try. So I'm going to go Renato Mulitalo up against Connor Tracy, who is not traditionally a winger, to go for some anytime jam at $1.95. I think he's pretty much a sure thing in that position.
I rate that, actually. And there'll be a bit of beef. We talked about the DWZ beef between him and Mulitalo last week. We got old teammates colliding out there, and Mulitalo, who does like to chirp, he throws his hands up and does some things, so there'll be a bit of extra animosity behind that one. $4.
I've got Mulitalo as well, doing the mana wave ironically to the Warriors fans. Fuck you, Mulitalo.
The 40-20 bet, what have you got for that one?
40-20, so I've hit this right on the nose. I had to do some adjusting of some lines to get it right on 420. So I'll just show you for proof, but look at that, man. Oh, you won't be able to see
it. Oh, no, there we go. Yeah. Bang on.
$4.20. I've got it right on the nose. So I'm going the Cronulla Sharks, 13. I think they'll win comfortably at $2.30. And then I'm going the North Queensland Cowboys to cover a minus -6.5 line, which is slightly decreased from the minus -7.5 that it was sitting at. At $1.83, and then that comes to a perfect $4.20. So it should come in.
No, I like it. I like it. And now, you know me, I'm a fucking degenerate. I said $4.20. We've gone for a little bit longer than that. So instead of a 40-20, I'm sitting in the 30-meter line. I'm going for a bit more bigger. So like you said, Mulitalo, I've locked him in here anytime. I think that's going to be fantastic jam out on that wing. Kyle Felt, you brought it home with me. He's got a fucking milestone in this one. I've locked him in anytime in that. And just to round it off, I've got the Broncos head-to-head. I think they will want to rewrite the wrongs from Vegas, kick the bunnies while they're down at home. So we've got Mulitalo, Kyle Felt, anytime try scorer, into the Broncos head-to-head. And that is a juicy $5.52.
Very nice. I thought you were going to blow it all the way out of the park and go a literal $40.20 bet.
No, we're not going silly. I'm just going to sit in the 30 and try and hoof a big spiral down the field and see if we can come home on that one. That wraps up another show from the lads. I hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully this one is a little bit more of a, as we lead into magic ground, it's not quite tragic ground. Hopefully the punts come in. Enjoy all the footy over the weekend. like and subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram if you're watching this for your up-to-date sports news and chat. And we'll see you all again next week to review and see how we went. Peace out. Bye.